Oh my goodness. Who does not love that song? That's such an amazing song. I'm glad we totally opened up with that. So welcome to Tea Time. I'm Cinnamon and we are about to serve it up. I have a very special guest today. Let's welcome Dez the Pharaoh Glover.
What's up? What's going
we
on,
hear
people?
Crowd cheer. Crowd cheer.
I love it.
Oh my God, it's so great to have you. Like, I already know this is going to be juicy, okay? We are going to be serving some shit up.
The real tea. Yes,
let's start out at how we know each other, first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I know I'm part of a theater community that in which you were a part of with Anne Van Wellington.
Van Wellman.
Oh my God, she yes, is indeed. Just
stellar.
She's like the catalyst of so many people.
Exactly.
I mean, Paige through her.
Right?
I know exactly. I know most of Long Beach through her.
Absolutely. There you go.
So,
I was out about at a restaurant once and I saw her fly there on the window. I was like, and then women.
Oh, wow. She's everywhere.
Everywhere.
I love that woman. So, and she does so many things and so effortless. Like,
right.
Makes it look like she's not falling apart when I know I'm falling apart.
Right. She's a legend.
So, let's go back. So, I met you at the community theater.
Right.
You were doing a piece. It was musical, yet it was poetic. And it had your band members in it.
Right.
And
right.
I just remember wanting so bad to connect with you because I loved what you brought to the stage.
Nice.
And I was like, I need to know this person and I need to work with this person.
Yeah, yeah.
So after the show was over, I had one of Heath's in the show as well.
Right, right.
But after the show, I remember coming up to you and talking to you about what you had just showed us on stage, which I was blown away about.
Wow.
So what was that piece? And tell us about the people on the stage and what was going on. I know you have a couple of groups, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, sure, sure. Good place to start, my gosh. The song, ironically, was called Brown Cinnamon.
Maybe that's why.
Right. That might have been a little bit.
No, it was funky and fresh, and I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. A little fusion spin on it. It's got a little old soul, some rootsy funk kind of going. But definitely new school in line with the Bruno Mars mashup kind of vibe nowadays. But the band at the time was called Sexual Deviants.
Yes, that was so sexy.
Amazing, amazing.
And I don't even have to ask you where you got that name.
I've been rocking sexy ever since college, literally.
Rocking sexy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What is sexy?
Well, it has come to mean embodying the fullness of who you are, serving that to the world unapologetically. Fully, wholly, loving and doing you. What it's about.
That's so amazing.
Yeah,
I could totally feel that. I could totally
Sweet,
feel
yeah.
that.
Sweet.
Yes.
Yeah, it's about just embracing all of who you are and serving that. And that Brown Cinnamon was the hottest single at the time for my group, Sexual Deviants. And it was an amazing opportunity to morph that into a stage play, I guess we can say. Those 5-minute segments that each of us are allowed to present, and then how it wove itself together with the theme, the thematics of it all. And so, and Anne worked with us. She was amazing. I wanted to definitely leave there with some theatrical gain, and she did not disappoint. So it was amazing. Like a movie. The music video as a movie. It was kind of how it ended up.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And And in return, that took us to writing something together.
Yeah.
Of course.
Why not, right?
Yeah, why not?
I was eager. I had heard about your experience and how you explained your piece, and I was kind of perplexed. So I was like, well, let's kind of, you know, braid ourselves together somehow. Mm-hmm. We were meeting at that Taco Bell out in...
Yeah.
Bellflower somewhere, you know.
I remember something seedy. We're like, let's just connect somehow, right. Somewhere.
And we just...
We're going to do something. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I knew we'd create something. So what came out of that was... You want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. I had a visual concept of personifying the issues that we here in America seem to have behind existing one with one another. I believe that everyone has space to be who they are, and it shouldn't kind of ink stain your shoes, right? I should have my own bubble. I shouldn't have to step on your toe.
Right.
And so Coexist was birthed from that. Mm-hmm. And all of your inpouring and wisdom and you know, and my ignorance in the moment of it all, because I hadn't really braved the stage in writing, and definitely not in any soloistic endeavors. And so I was very much appreciative of the knowledge that you poured in and you're pushing, you know. and I did reach out to Anne because we definitely wanted it to be a Long Beach Community Theater connection.
Uh-huh.
And some of the proceeds went to the organization. But Anne, you know, she cracked me up a little bit after I served her my concept of not writing an actual script, uh-huh, but allowing the characters to embody themselves scene for scene. And she was like, oh, that's way too risky, Death. She's like, I want off the ship. I'm not doing that, you know. I'm like, it'll work, you know.
Yeah.
She thought I was crazy.
I remember there was a script, and then after the script that we had sat down and created together, we just kind of threw it aside. And we're like, whatever's going to come on stage, we'll come on stage.
You use that framework. I look at it like building a house, and you have the skeletal framework, you know. But we wanted each character to come in and, oh, this wall will be green.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, this will be the kitchen. And this, so everybody had creative license in there as well. And for me, I felt like it would be more comfortable for each actor. So that was a lot of my reasons.
Especially there was some people on stage that had never been before.
Right.
So with rehearsals and just the dynamics, it all came about.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I actually jumped behind the lighting board, which I never, the sound and lighting, and I was like, I guess I'm the sound and lighting person today.
Right.
So
exactly.
That was amazing, because I was like, okay, here we go.
Right.
This is what's going to happen today. So,
and
that's theater. That's guerrilla theater.
I just love it. I actually was directing from behind the keyboard, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm playing the music,
and you're like,
singing, kind of.
Yeah.
Like waving and motioning and keeping everybody afloat. It was fun. It was really good fun.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's hard to get so many people involved in one place to be able to create a whole vision on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard, but we did it.
We did it. There you go.
We did it in such a small space.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Kudos.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, we should revisit that film. We should, like, sip a beer and watch it again together.
Yeah, let's do it. Seriously. And
indeed.
I'm sure we will come up with something new.
There you go.
Yeah. So, well, tell me about your name is Des the Pharaoh Glover.
Yes.
Tell me about the Glover. I mean, not the Glover part. The Pharaoh part. Like, Pharaoh. I mean, to me, you're king. And our love is king.
I love that.
But here we go. Talk to me about the Pharaoh. What's
for
up
sure,
with that?
Sure.
How would you get that?
Well, it is an official title. around about 2000, I believe. Kind of came about because of my love of ancient Egypt. I'm kind of a bootleg Egyptologist, if you will. Kind of was birthed from my journey of learning and discovering of the Bible. Mm. And I found so many golden nuggets along that journey. I was like, oh, we'll come back for that. Come back for that, you know. Uh-huh. And so when I finally was able to delve into it, kind of took me right into Africa and Egypt and all the dynasties and pharaohs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so it was a whole little ceremony that I decided to have. A friend of mine ushered me through, and I accepted the title and calling of pharaoh.
Wow.
Totally deeper element to that, because the pharaohs in that time were about bringing a certain knowledge to their own communities, their kingdoms, if you will. And their spiritual connection had a lot to do with the life and the thrive of the entire kingdom. And so it's kind of that type of a notion where the depth of my ministry from inside birthed something outside, and a friend of mine said, you have to be entitled for that. That's, you know, bigger than life. It's not just a normal thing. Mm-hmm. And so I went to a ceremony that we created to become the pharaoh. And I decided the because I felt like this is all you need. The last of the Mohicans. This is it. The pharaoh. Perfected. Right?
That's it. Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah. And I took it a glean from one of the seven wonders of the world, mm-hmm. The island of Pharos, and the big lighthouse that is notable there. And I dropped the S, added the A-H, feminine ending, Pharaoh.
Oh, wow. Pharaoh.
So I don't spell it in the traditional way.
Right.
It was a spinoff from Island of Pharos.
Is there anything poetic that you don't do?
No.
I mean, every little thing is like to the T. I know you're a Virgo, right?
No.
You're not a Virgo?
Oh, yeah. Oh. All due respect to Virgos.
I know, right?
No, I'm a Scorpio. Through to the core. Indeed. Proud of my stinger. Shout out to all those women who've been stung.
Oh my gosh. And that's a next segment right now. We're going to be talking about that soon.
Ooh, we.
I know. Well, that's very interesting that you did a whole ceremony.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. So
I believe in creating like tradition. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My own personal, but I definitely believe in being theatrical about most everything.
And going back to like your wedding had that same theme, right?
Yeah, I produced my wedding.
Yes, yes, it was a theatrical wedding.
The wife's like, just whatever.
I know, right?
She was like, do your dress. She did her dress and all that stuff. She was like, you just do the rest. I did.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
African drummers, African dancers. I was, you know, the whole creating a little bit of the Coming to America vibe, uh-huh. You know, because I wanted her to be carried in, but she denied that one. Yeah, can't win them all. But she did have the, you know, three different flower bearers, which were, you know, kind of more in the African tradition of we don't want your royal feet to touch the ground. So, but very much put together.
It was entertaining, to say the least. It was very entertaining. I was like, wow, the details that went into this ceremony right now.
I just feel like weddings, the traditional, like it's just kind of boring, you know? I mean, you should get a notion of the love that the people share from being there, not just by looking at them crying or whatever, but there should be moments of dramatic presentations and, you know, expressions of the love. That's just how I envision it. So,
well,
I definitely wanted to bow before my presenting, you know, my future queen. Uh-huh. And offer her, extend her the opportunity to be my queen. And so then I pulled the drape, and her plaque was there.
We that adjusted was so amazing.
The crown, which was slightly crooked, and she was enthroned as my queen at that point.
So. That was so amazing. That's what I'm saying. It was so theatrical. Yeah, everything was thought through.
My inner gay boy.
Well, then there's that. I relate because I got that too.
We know what's up.
We do. And so that's, you know, it's not always welcomed, but, you know, I can't help it.
Being sexy, unapologetic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know they're like, you're more of a gay boy than even a lesbian. And I'm like, I'll take it.
But that's how it shines through, you know? Mm-hmm. I found myself really kind of denouncing the feminine essence of me in a sense because I didn't understand it. We really had no relationship. I didn't get her. She didn't get me, you know? And so that little 12 to 15% would just sit kind of on the shelf. And it was just a time where I felt like, where I was learning how to embody all of me and accept and present all of me. And so I had to go back and kind of go, okay, girl, what's up? You know, so I affectionately named them, you know, the masculine, the normal side of me, I'll say. Mm-hmm. My normalcy is expressed as the Pharaoh or Des. But Desiree? She's a whole nother character.
We're going to come back to that too. Trust me, it's right here on the list. But let's go back to the married life. What was it before married life? And what was it after? What's going on so now? Funny. So let's go back before married life. How long have you been married?
We celebrated 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
So that wedding was 5 years ago?
Right. It looked so bad.
Oh my
That's crazy.
Gosh.
5 years, yeah.
Wow. And yeah, before that, how long were you guys together?
8 or 9. We argued. She says 8, I say 9. So I don't even know for sure now. 8 or 9.
Whatever she says.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, she's right. She's right.
I had to wipe the truth out of my mind in order to let her have that. I don't even know.
I know. Sometimes you have to do that and be like, exactly. Oh, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was it before married life? What was it like?
Well, outside of married life, I probably have to say 12 years before actually marrying Brandy or connecting with her, meeting her. Well, connected. We already knew each other. Mm-hmm. Connected with Brandy. About 12 years prior, I was living what I call my philosophy in life, which is poly, open. And I was a late bloomer, and I didn't come out until late, and I didn't really get to explore my sexuality until late. And so that, because it was well into my adulthood, it afforded me the beautiful opportunity to date a multitude of women at the same time.
And how old were you when you came out?
About 22.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you doing before that?
Lost.
Lost.
Trying to fondle boys. Never had sex, but I was a fondler.
Mm. Okay. Yeah,
put that out there. Whatever. Hey, guys.
If you're listening, hi.
Right. All due respect.
Remember me.
Looking for myself. Okay.
Hey, you know, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, you're here now.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah, you are like totally, completely here now.
Yeah, for sure.
Your authentic self, right?
Yeah. I have no male issues.
Yeah.
None at all.
So, okay, you were poly, started off as poly,
mm-hmm.
And then you just decided...
Yeah. Well, I lived the life, sounds all cute, I lived the life open and poly for probably have to say about 10, like, you know, had a nice stint, had a nice run of singledom. If I translate that into you guys' language, I had about 10 years of being a good hoe. and I said good hoe because I was very respectful and make sure I, you know, take them to dinner at least. You know, those incidental times where it wasn't even a whole date. Like, before I drop you off, what do you want to eat? You know? So,
good hoe. Here's a to-go container.
I wasn't, like, you know, mistreating them or anything. And my friends down at the Minority AIDS Clinic thought I was crazy because I, date one, guess where we're going?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was my life. At the clinic and hanging with women.
All right. There you go.
And sometimes all together because they kind of requested it. So all of the intermingling that I became known for as the Pharaoh, people kind of like, oh, her hair, you know, they thought it was intentional, really, but it really just happened. And they would request to hang out. No, we're going to come to your house and we're just going to order up something or cook up something. And yeah, and if I had a moment over here, I had a moment and we were all good. And then I might be over here having a moment. So, yeah, but that was my life.
Damn. Okay.
That was my life. Tell them all the truth, though.
Yes.
Keep everything we're here on for the it. Level. That's
we
what
are
it
here
work.
For it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so about that ceremony, I think this was the Pharaoh. That was a ceremony. That's the true Pharaoh.
Right. You know, you don't know if you remember, I had a guest at the wedding speak about that. She was like, you know, whether y'all know it or not, Dan's got a history. About, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And I was able to grab the mic. I was like, no, let her say what she's saying.
This is
my
not
life
the place.
Is open book. Open book. Hey,
but not your wedding. Come on.
So. We were having some, we started having complications. There were a few new seeds that weren't sprouting well. I'll say it like that. Uh-huh. And I just kind of got frustrated a little bit because, I have these visualizations of communal living and us really growing together, not for any sexual, you know, purposes, if you will. I was free either way. I had my own place, you know, but I just wanted to be able to thrive together with a group of folks and let's build and, you know, all of us benefit because we can save, if you will, work together. And it just kind of wasn't stacking up well. And I just got a little tired. And I said, you know, in order to build with someone, I'm going to just select someone and go this route. And that's what had me tap the button. Like, I thought about Deal or No Deal in my head. Tap the button, you know, like, we'll take that one. We'll take that offer. And that's what had me decide to do monogamy.
Oh, wow.
It is a choice. We are not monogamous creatures. It is a choice.
It is a choice. Mm-hmm. It is a choice. And so, do you still choose it today?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, at the time, that's why I said about 15 years prior. Before that, I was in a relationship for about 11 years.
Oh, wow.
4 years. Mm-hmm. Monogamously. And that was a choice. And I thought, you know, that was it, right? I thought I had struck pay dirt, if you will. And when that went south, I was kind of like bewildered a little bit because I hadn't planned, you know, on anything beyond that. So in my put myself back together, get back on my throne, as I call it, era, Brandy resurfaced because we knew each other through church. Well, you know, kind of minimally, you know, we hadn't had many conversations. But she would, as I said, she'd always kind of be hanging around after church, you know, holding her little purse. And, you know, that was like, we were really hugging church. Church, you know, we encourage hugging. So we were, you know, oh, let me go get my hug, you know. Even the time, there were about 3 years at the end of my last relationship where we, because we were prominent figures in our church. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't announce right away that we were, you know, had already started dismantling, if you will. And so during that phase, you know, I was kind of stepping outside the line a little bit, dropping little hits and flirts at her. Yeah.
But shout out to Dez. I mean, Dez. Shout out to Brandy. Brandy and Dez. I am team Brandez.
Yeah, team Brandez.
I am team Brandez.
I love it. I love it.
She's great.
She's good people. She's in a good space now.
Every time I see her, she's just so warm and loving. And
she has that.
Definitely Brandez.
I love it. She's my, my calm.
I can see that.
I can definitely see that. Yeah, yeah.
So let's go backwards to childhood. I know we were talking a little while ago about what brought you to where you are now, as the Pharaoh, but before the Pharaoh. You know, you told me you a little bit of hard knocks growing up.
Yeah, I was born at Harbor General, Torrance, California.
Okay.
1970. When we still had that thick plastic on the couch. And, you know, being black, African-American, well, Afro-American, because I came through that whole Negro Afro-American transition. Actually, my birth certificate, my nationality is Negro. So that I'd say that.
Wow.
Yeah, no, still today. we, you know, kind of just rough life. My mom and dad went their separate ways. I was about six. And we moved. My mom's best friend was the pastor's daughter, or one of the pastor's daughters. And so she had a house down the street from hers that we ended up renting. And that was a house in which my mom fell victim to the pillowcase rapist. One of the only of the three, I think, that survived of his 37, 38, or whatever.
Wow.
And so at that point, we transitioned into San Diego to my dad, or her dad's house, my grandpa's house. And we stayed there for her recovery, if you will, mental recovery, you know. And then she bounced into the Inland Empire with one of her sisters. And we were, you know, struggling. My brother had bought her, fortunately enough, a car. Mm-hmm. He was fairly young, but he got a Burger King commercial with Rodney Allen Rippey. Mm-hmm. And because my mom took us into Hollywood, like, you guys gonna make us some money, you know. So it did work to some extent. And she had the car. And in that car, we'd drive around daily just so we wouldn't be a burden to her sister and, you know, collect cans and, you know, whatever the amount would determine, you know, the meal, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of came from the bottom, started from the bottom. Now we're here type situation. But she's had an amazing ride. She really only had to work for about under 30 years of her life. You know, unfortunately, she ended up 100%, declared 100% handicapped as far as work is concerned because you know, some of her medical listings. But she's, you know, well off in the sense of at her age. I think she's about to be 80.
Wow.
And she's, you know, she's a funky little something. She's a little go-getter. I have to tell her, Mom, don't do that. Like, you know, I'm doing my own garden because the guy was late. You know, come on, stop it, you know.
I think it's that era. It's that age right now. Gosh. My mom is the same. Yeah. I have to be like, slow down.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, they do more now, trying to, you know, not prove a point, but, you know, I guess it's more of the use it, you know, or lose it. Mm-hmm. When you get closer to that ending point, I guess, you're like, it's like overworking the muscle a little bit, you know.
And they're so used to just going, going.
Right.
And don't ever be a burden to anybody else.
Oh, no.
You know?
Never that, right?
My mom's favorite thing nowadays is just going to get a margarita and just chilling. And I'm like, Mom, you've earned it. Just
exactly.
Do it. Enjoy your life.
I love that. You should reach a point where you can just kind of kick in the neutral, like, I'm coasting.
I know, right? I'm trying to do that now.
Hello. The earlier the
I don't
better,
want to man. Wait till I'm 80. I want to work hard now, and right. then, like, in a couple years, just start
that
coasting.
Part.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Before the joints start.
I know, right?
Doing too much, right?
That's why I say I want to travel, you know, nationwide. Until,
yeah,
you know, before my, I can't, you know?
Yeah. Man, for sure. For sure.
So, as a kid, what was your inspirations? And did you always know you'd be a musician? You know?
Well, probably. Mm-hmm. Because I was born into a singing family. Most mm-hmm. everybody in my family sings. Even in the L.A. County, you say Glover in certain areas, people know, oh my God, sing something or whatever, right? So probably, I once I got a taste of instruments, it was a good way for me to be individual in the family. So I think that's why I kind of went, ah, let me go do all these instruments. And what's that? What's that? And I really didn't groom my voice. I didn't studied vocally, if you will. You know, I did instruments and then instruments and instruments all the while I was singing, you know, mm-hmm. singing in church. You know, they never typical black church, you know, never typically required any formal, you know, grooming or training, proper etiquette, quote unquote, right? So, I mean, I was good on the radar, you know. Now that I've done all my theory in college and did all my instrumental learning, I teach vocally, and so I'm usually telling my students, trust me, I'm right here with you, you know, so it's a relatable point, like I'm doing my exercises like you're doing yours, you know, so.
Let's talk about the instruments you play. Is there any instruments you don't play? Let's just start with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's the easier way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't play strings. Well, that's a tough statement because that's not fully true. If there were a guitar here now, I can make some pretty happen. I wouldn't know, you know, how to finger it or any of the proper usage. I never slowed down for that. I did upright bass in seventh grade, I think. Mm-hmm. But it was really, I don't know why it was so hard. Maybe it was the clef. It might have been the clef difference. Because I had already kind of mastered treble clef, and thinking outside of that box was, you know, and it might have just got frustrating, where all the other instruments before were like, grab it, learn it, go, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I just, and then even violin, matter of fact, but it was too close to my ear, and ratchet, I was like, yeah, nah, that hurts. That never went back. So that's literally the only stuff that I don't play that string. Other than piano, because I've learned that piano is actually a string instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So I do play that, right? Quite well, but nothing that you strum.
I think because it has a lot of focus. You have to focus, and there's a lot of movement.
So, yeah, it's a
you
lot
can't,
of stuff.
Yeah, right. You can't just, you know, bullshit your way.
No.
You know,
no,
you
no.
have to know what you're playing if you want to play a song. Now,
for
if you
sure.
want to just strum, you're fine.
Right.
But,
yeah, yeah. Sure.
I mean, I started taking some guitar lessons. So
yeah, yeah. I started guitar.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's because I want to slow down. I want to slow my mind down. I want to be able to focus and concentrate. It's kind of like a meditation also.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it does exercise your brain. And
yeah.
So
if you're going to just learn chording, that would probably be the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to learn the fingerings for those chords and in turn, those notes. And so then you can kind of branch out beyond there. But the easiest way is to learn strum some chords.
What's your favorite instrument?
Oof. It all depends on style of music. But I always say drums are like kind of my that's like my love affair. There's so many options. And a lot of it is independent and left up to you. Here's the basic groove. It's a bossa. It's this tempo. There may be a hit here, or set up here and there, but everything else is just me. my creation, my representation, interpretation. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think I enjoy it most because of the freedom and the expression that I get. More of a gratifying from the drums.
Mm. So you also teach lessons.
Yeah.
Do you love that as well?
I am a teacher by calling, literally. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is my give back. That is definitely my give back. I often say, even to my students that are on my roster, it is not about the money. I want you to get music because you want it. And I took so much of it in, going through all that learning and all this theory. I'm busting at the seams with it. I want to give it to you. But I only like to feed those who come to me hungry. And so as long as you're willing, I'll teach you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I understand that because I'm like that with if you need a platform to... come say your poem or express yourself in some way. Or I know this person that can help you out. Like, that's one of my true callings, is to connect people. And because I believe in artists. I believe.
Absolutely.
I see they're good. And I see where they would fit in, what they're good at, and who would benefit. And...
Excellent.
You know, we all need a platform somewhere to express ourselves.
Those connections are vital to creators, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If no one knows the magic of your art, whatever you're bringing, then, you know, it's just for you. And I firmly believe that it was given to us to give away, not just to, you know, kind of bury it. I often go to the Bible, the parable about the talents and, you know, different... What did you do with yours? What did you do with yours? Oh, I buried it. Keep it good and safe and perfect until you came back. So he's like, you didn't grow it, groom it, you know, share it or anything, you know. Plant it, maybe grow another bush or anything. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm just a firm believer in giving it away. This is not for me. And for a long time, I hoarded my music. Like, I was just making it, like, you know, really skeptical. The Erykah Badu, sensitive about my shit. You know, and so it was like that type of thing. And then like, you know what? This is not for me. And so if they don't like it, okay, it wasn't, you know, don't pick from my apple tree then, you know?
Right.
Yes. But I had to grow that skin. So mm-hmm. So now I'm sharing my music with the world.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, because we need it. We need it. Music is life to me. I know. And it's healing.
Oh man.
It's a way to connect.
Absolutely.
It's a way to inspire, to grow,
express,
to heal.
Yeah.
So
it reaches internationally. I think about when I was young touring in China and, you know, folks didn't necessarily speak a lick of English. But here we are singing all this patriotic stuff and, you know, amazing. They were just like we were Michael Jackson or something, you know. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about your music.
All right.
We're going to play a little bit of your clips of music that we have.
Good stuff.
And, you know, there's a lot to talk about. So we'll be right back with Des Glover.
Don't go nowhere. This is the trouble with my niece. So I'm putting it in your face. Well, in this case, this girl, she delighted me, excited and invited me into spaces and places that no man could go. Well, you know, she sang the sweet song of her inner yearnings, and I played skillfully with my hands, made her dance in the melodic showers that we produced for hours and hours. She was the rhythm in my blues that stirred the funk in my soul, that placed the treble in my bass, so I put it in my face. She was the rhythm in my blues that stirred the funk in my soul, that my bass, so she put it in my face. This case, this
girl brought stanky funk and peeled back layers of compound notes that often collided with my smooth grooves, but she used ghostly syncopated distaste to our once flavorful harmonies and moves. She should have known she had my heart from the start. Hell, she even spit bars with me. Well, in any case, I'm careful to brew up a savory mouthful of good, good goodness, enough to fill your ears, eyes, and tummy. I'm oh so yummy, good to the last drop or beat or pulse of the rhythmic dance I've just played, been playing with your mind. I've rocked your top, you've already shaken your bottom. I'm about to pull out and release from the middle. It's the rhythm in my blues that stirs the funk in my soul, that places the trouble with my bass, so I put it in your face. Cause it's the rhythm in my blues that stirs the funk in my soul, that places a treble with my bass, so I put it in your face. It's the rhythm in my blues that stirs the funk in my soul, that places a treble with my bass, so I put it in your face. It's the rhythm in my blues that stirs the funk in my soul, that places the treble with my bass, so I put it in your face. The rhythm in my blues stirred the funk in my soul, that placed the treble with my bass, so I put it in your face. Rhythm in my blues stirs the funk in my soul, that places the treble with my bass, so I put it in your face. She's the rhythm in my blues that stirs the funk in my soul, that places the treble with my bass, so I put it in your face.
Confusing and losing, misusing me and my mind. It's time. Hating, debating, waiting. Straighten up and get wise. Your third eye applies. It's time you open your mind and see what you'll find. Don't doubt it. Think about it. In this strange land, martyred citizens, Afro-American.
We come from another land, our heads are raised with a fist in our right hand, we stand.
In this strange land, martyred citizens, Afro-American.
We come from another land, our heads are raised with a fist in our right hand, we stand.
In this strange land, martyred citizens, Afro-American.
My country is a
life vest on your chest so you can swim and not sink with them. Cause they've been feeding toxins. Get your locks in, got mine. In time you'll find your third eye blinded by the things you see. It's a mystery to me and to thee. Don't doubt it. Think about it. In this strange land, martyred citizens, Afro-American.
We come from another land, our heads are raised with a fist in our right hand, we stand.
In this strange land, martyred citizens, Afro-American.
We come from another land, our heads are raised with a fist in our right hand,
we stand
in the strange land, martyr citizens.
My country is a beat, sweet and of liberty, of the IC.
Remember me? Better come to grips and think about those whips and the bottom of those ships, thick hips.
We're back. You're giving me a little bit of Erykah Badu vibes right there. I'm loving it.
Nice.
What you just heard was Des Gafaro Glover. This is her band. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about these songs that we were playing because they're amazing. I heard them earlier. And yeah, Des, tell us.
Gotcha.
With this Erykah Badu information.
I don't know, a lot of my stuff is real funky, laid back, you know, it's got a little touch of jazz, soul, funk, and gospel typically, but this one that was just playing, or is playing, is called Afro-Merican, and I broke it up purposely like that, because it came from a spin. I mentioned, kind of poked that earlier, how we started out as black people initially as Negro, then we became Afro-American, and then later on African-American as we stand currently. But I often got a little kick out of that era, like, what is Afro, like, are you referring to our hairstyles? like, what is Afro-American? I mean, like, it just didn't make sense to me. That we're going to create a race based on a hairstyle or something.
Right.
So I just didn't get it. And so the song was kind of a stab at that. And it goes into this interesting patriotic clip of My Country, Tis of Thee,
mm-hmm.
Sweet Land of Liberty, of thee I sing. And then I ask the question, remember me? Because, you know, as we know, it's been a little bit of a daunting past, the journey of my peoples, and,
yes.
You know, a little bit of lack of equality in that respect. So as the verses progress, the singing of the anthem, the patriotic anthem, becomes questionable. And by the end chorus, we're all kind of making a stance that I'm not going to sing that. And as we do that live, we take a knee, we lift our fist, put our hand over our hearts or whatever. But it's our own patriotic plea because it becomes My Country, Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Misery. So, you know, not that I wanted to hate
that
on the Americas. I'd love to love the place. But, you know, Americans have fought against me for so long on that one.
So you know, we're right here.
About it. I'm optimistic, though. I do believe that we will see a bigger, better, brighter day in our lifetime. I do believe that. So
definitely
just waiting for the moments, the opportunities. But that was the stance of this particular song.
And what about Afro, what about the song before that?
Before that is Rhythm in My Blues. Now that one,
I love it.
I was hoping that you would get that poetic vibe where people are snapping their fingers and drinking coffee, maybe having a drink and smoking the atmosphere, just that cool man club kind of a vibe where I'm spitting my poetry and kind of, you know, probably got a cigar in my own hand, and, you know, she was the rhythm in my blues that stirred the funk in my soul, that placed the trouble in my bass, so I put it in your face.
Ooh, that is sexy.
I mean, just that man with a little sax organ. So on that particular song, it is not the band. The other one, Afro-American, is represented by myself instrumentally and Sexual Deviance.
Okay.
But with Rhythm in My Blues, everything that you hear is me playing, except for the bass. My bass player overdubbed, you know, the bass part to do live bass versus key bass, which I did. So everything except for the bass is me. Sax, the organ, the drums, it's all me.
You played every instrument on there.
Everything.
Everything. And you sang.
Yeah, well, you know, a little bit of singing. I do it live. I sing a little more when I do it live, actually. Because there's the...
Yeah, you like to impromptu and just throw stuff out there. I do. And by the way, I always see you as that poetic stud with a cigar.
Right.
Like, that's the vision of you all the time. And I'm like, I want to be dead.
Oh,
I
want to
be dead. When will I have a cigar and just be able to sit back and know that you are just the shit?
Oh my God! You know what, Sin? You're there, bro. It's that's acting. It's just sitting in the essence of who you are.
Yeah.
Grab a cigar, man.
That's exactly. I
smoke Casianas. I don't want to sound like I'm like big chief. I get the little sweet cigars.
Mm, yeah,
but they're big. They look regular. Yeah.
Let's talk about your musicians on there. You want to give some shout outs to the musicians on there?
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Mickey Noble, my boy. I used to call him my white boy. Then found out he's not even white. Like, rip me off, brother. But yeah, that's my guy. He helped with the recording, the finishing of that project as well. And he's my bass man who moved to New Mexico. Yeah, so I don't want to cry. We won't talk about that. Anyway, definitely shout out to my former representation of Sexual Deviance. I'll say it in the sexual way. Lady Queen and Lady Your Highness, who represented well on those recordings. And also a shout out, I don't want to neglect the older members that also have participated. I don't remember her name, but Anisha, her sexual name, but Anisha, Kisa, and Tish, going all the way back in the history of us. So shout out to all of those past members of Sexual Deviance.
What about your cousin?
That's Lady Your Highness.
Oh, that's what she goes
through. Yeah. Booyah, okay. More yes, so is why yes. You probably remember.
Okay.
But yeah.
As she should.
Love it. Oh my gosh. But yeah, Sexual Deviance by name and representation will still carry on. The faces just change.
But you also have another band. What's that?
I dabble.
Oh my God. Yeah, we heard earlier.
For almost 20 years, I think we counted up, I've been a member of a DAWE. ADAWWE.
Oh.
That's a DAWE.
And what is that? What's that?
That is a group of seven women of voice and drum who represent music from the world music, basically. Reggae. A lot of it is West African, but there's also some South African stuff that we dabble with and a few of the other tribes and countries. Amazing group of women. Oh my God. It's such feel-good music. Mm-hmm. I've learned to sing. Can't say speak. I've learned to sing in several different languages working with them. And it's been quite an experience. I just came back from the African World Festival in Detroit this weekend. It was an amazing experience. Shout out to Anindu, Monique, I call her Moesha, Nikilta, Bridgetta, and Phyllis. And our missing member on this past travel was Jocelyn, who was actually the founder, one of the founders of the group. And she was unable to make it. A shout out to all of y'all. Keebla, of course, on the bass. And Brother Shay, the only man on stage other than myself, with Shay Alexander on the guitar. I'm a M-A-H-N, though. I never wanted to be a M-A-N. Still no desire. I'd love to have a goatee, though. That would be nice. That would kind of be hitting. But other than that, I'm just trance by the way I dress, by any desire to alter. Shout out to those who do.
Yes.
Got a lot of homes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot now. A lot on the spectrum.
Pick a letter. Pick a letter. Yeah.
I know, right? Pick a letter and do it well. Yeah.
There you go. Do it well. That's it.
Yeah.
Saxon.
Oh, it's we're out there. Yeah. Everything goes, and you know, and it's all welcome. It's all there welcome here.
Yeah, yeah. No discrimination.
No,
I don't discriminate musically. No. I play all styles. I have a group now. We're doing a lot of covers. It's not a cover band. It's represented by our lead, Queen Ya. Amazing vocalist. My God. Her energy, her presentation, her everything is just right. Her work ethic, everything. I love it. I'm like in love with her musically. She's amazing. And we back her as the High Court. And amazing. And of course, it's very apropos. I'm Desdefaro. There's Prince. I can't get them all. There's Grace. She has a graceful way of announcing us all royally.
Wow.
In our own respects. And it's a pretty powerful presentation.
Speaking of royal, you have a label as well.
Well, yeah.
I didn't forget about that.
Oh man, Royalty Entertainment is an umbrella company of all things dance, if you will. I've come to learn it and establish it as Dez's Diversity. Diverse City. Dez's Diversity. And underneath there has been recording studio, music lessons. I do printing and just some lot of little stuff.
And you also do hair.
I do. I am a barber, unlicensed.
What unlicensed, do you but I am not a barber. Do?
I do designs and all.
Yes. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've been very tempted to get a design.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say cut my hair off. I was like, uh-uh. I'm
cut
not
going to do my hair. It. Shave
I
it.
I love your swag, man. Oh, I always go, I wish I had something to play with.
I don't even know what to do with it. Sometimes it does its own thing.
I love it.
It really does.
When my mohawk gets really long and I twist it up, I'm always hoping it'll shake. No such luck. No such
do
luck.
The 80s flip.
Right.
Like,
oh, man.
So what's next for you guys? What is going on?
Well,
albums, CDs?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Live?
Before I get to me, Adawe is rapidly expanding and we're everywhere. Take a look. We're at adawemusic.com. The High Court, ripping it up in Long Beach. We are destined to be Long Beach's favorite in 2.2. Like, we're tearing it up. But we'd love to come to your city. Holla us.
Yes.
The High Court. Check us out. Look for us on the social media platforms, Queen Ya and The High Court.
Awesome.
Dez the Pharaoh Glover. I've just by response, some people were asking for actual written texts of some of my work. And so I published, and I've got my edition 23.1. There's sensual, there's the flirty version, there's the inspirational, there's erotic. Don't forget that one. So they're all different versions, and they come with about 15 poems or so. They're online at my website, royal-tentertainment.com. And select from the top, as I told you, it royalty encompasses quite a bit. But there's jewelry, there's merch.
Jewelry, yes. All that stuff. Jewelry is another thing.
My prized possession right now is Glover's accessories.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm just in love with beading.
I can tell you're always going live, showing us the latest pieces that you've made.
Yeah. My customers are my fan base, my Glover's accessories fan base, is really pulling, you know, for different things, expanding. And what? You do these? Oh, no, never tried it, but I will now, you know. And so I love it.
I love the little clips you used to do with the questions and answers with your friends.
Oh,
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. Okay. After, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Often we're, online, I do different trivias and quizzes. I like to give away things, items from Glover's Accessories, or I find like sneakers online and, you know, name brand. I just bless people. Like, just call in, answer some questions right, win again, you know.
All right. Well, we are almost out of time. So what I'm going to do before we leave, this is Des the Feral Glover one more time. We're going to have her come back with some of her band members, hopefully one day.
Nice.
And maybe they can do a little live thing and talk about, you know, their works.
That'll be
but
nice.
As you take us out, I want you to pick something from that little book. Give us a little, a line or two, juicy. Before we head out,
juicy. And,
yes,
right,
outro with sensual. Your song.
This and is my sensual. Right?
Once again, before we leave, this is Des the Pharaoh. And let's hear what she's got to say. But first of all, I got to say thank you for joining us. It's been fun and always goes so quick serving up the tea.
Right. Yes. I love it. Appreciate
all right.
You. Thanks
Give
for
us
having
a couple
me.
Of lines.
When I'm awake. Rolling in the wind beyond the birds and the bees, watching the squirrels that rest in the trees. I anticipate the daybreak. I only dream when I'm awake. Nestled tightly between Egyptian cotton, yet sleep seems like all that I've forgotten. I meditate on the noises I make, because I only dream when I'm awake. Lying anxiously afraid of sunrise, carefully pretending to sleep as I close my eyes. I've become the master of the great fake, because I only dream when I'm awake.
Ooh, snap, 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 snap.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on Tea Time. I'm Cinnamon. Until next time, let's serve it up.
Sip that tea.
Eyes wide shut, open up. Abusing, confusing, illusing, misusing me and my mind. It's time. Hating, debating, waiting. Straighten up and get wise. Your third eye applies. It's time you open your mind and see what you'll find. Don't doubt it.